Well, good morning, Potter's Four Square Church. Hope all is well. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my home. We did have church this last Sunday, and it was nice to be meeting together. So we need to keep that in prayer as we continue through this COVID lockdown, but things are going well. So this morning, we would normally be in Matthew, but because this is the last sermon of the year on Sunday mornings, I wanted to bring something a little bit different, really talking about the year that we just had and sort of our response to it. So, you know, most of us would like to put 2020 in behind us and never think of it again, right? I mean, I would be the first one to sign up for that. However, what does the word really teach us about our past? What is our, you know, outlook supposed to be? How do we reconcile that? What are we to do with our past? And as in everything, you know, biblical, there is a need for balance, right? When we scripture, it constantly communicates that in all the areas of our life, there has to be good balance. And I think that there's balance that's needed when we think about our past and we think about how it affects us. And, you know, you could easily make an argument that, well, you know, what's done is done. It's behind us and we're moving on. And, you know, 2021 is going to be a new year and it's going to be a perfect year and it's going to be a great year. And those are all great sentiments. Those are all great things to think of. I think being positive is a good thing, although a lot of people think I don't think that way, but I do. But the thing that I think that we really need to figure out is, okay, there are things that we need to obviously forget about 2020, but there are things that we need to remember because we need to learn from them. And what does the Bible have to say about that? You see, we are never permitted to not be accountable for our past. We need to be accountable for our past, and we are never permitted to live in our past either. The Bible says we're going from glory to glory, and we can't worry about yesterday. We can't worry about tomorrow. We can only be concerned with the things that are today. Tomorrow has its own worries, and yesterday's gone. So understanding that there is a biblical balance between the two, what does the scripture say? So we need to consider that this morning as we address this in our text. And our text is going to be out of Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. And I'll begin reading there. If you have your Bible, why don't you open it up and we'll get started. It says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So there are things to consider. Obviously, there are observations that we have in this text. I realize that we are starting right in the middle of Philippians, and I know that this text does not necessarily address, what our past is and how we should handle it. But there's some truth in what Paul was dealing with when he said these things, and I think it's truth that we can apply to today. So why are we here this morning? We're here to study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. That is you and that is me. And let's get busy with our observations. So let's just consider the context here. Paul, the apostle, in this section in Philippians, you know, he says, "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which, you know, God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul's sort of instructing us to forget everything that happened before Christ, right? And is that what he's really doing? Is that what he's saying? Is this, yeah, forget everything that happened and move on? Is this command, you know, to purge our minds of all of our memories? I don't necessarily think that it is. It's important for us to consider that the passage that precedes these particular words is what is really important because it gives us context. So Paul had just listed all the religious qualifications that the Jewish mind were, you know, they looked at as supreme importance, and that's what he says here. And then he states, I consider, this is back in verse 8, everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. In other words, the fact of what I did as a somebody that persecuted believers, the fact of who I was as a Jewish leader, and all the schooling and everything I had, all of those things, I consider everything, you know, to be a loss. I consider it, in another place he said, I consider it rubbish. Paul is making the point that, you know, no fleshly accomplishment matters in comparison with knowing Christ and trusting in his salvation alone. Yeah, there's just nothing compares to it. Regardless of how good or how bad we may have been, we all got to come to Christ the same way. We got to exercise humility and be repentant. And you know, why? Because we are undeserving of his forgiveness. And I think that when we look at this text, and, you know, we think about, you know, the prize, obviously, is what he ends with. He says, but how do you really get there? The way that you get to the prize is you can't be weighed down. You can't be stuck in the things that have happened to you. There's a greater need for the believer, and the greater need is to be pressing on. And so it really speaks to where we are as a society now, because I realize that some of you, you know, I realize, you know, the calendar is going to change here. We're going to flip over another year in just a matter of days. And when we do, is that the thing that's going to trigger the new beginning? No, it's not. This COVID thing is going to be around for many, many, many months, possibly the whole entire year. We have political upheaval that's going to be, you know, we've had a break now because of the holidays. But as soon as the holidays are over and whatever happens with the president happens and whatever happens in Georgia happens and, you know, these things aren't going to go away. They're going to raise their head, and we're going to have a lot of what we had last year in this coming year. However, the thing that we got to consider is that we're that much wiser because we've already been through this year. None of us could have predicted it. None of us saw it coming, but we went through it and we learned and we grew and we understood. I'm not going to make the same mistakes I made last year. I'm not going to be led by panic, and I'm not going to rip the church up, you know, because people are fearful and, you know, tend to overreact to something that is very serious and potentially life-threatening. But there's a myriad of things that are serious and life-threatening, and we learn how to manage them. We're going to learn how to manage COVID, and we don't need to shut down our world to do it. That's what I've learned. And I'm going to apply that to what we do in 2021. So interpreting this, what does it mean to forget? Because the word forget in this passage means no longer caring for, it means neglecting, and it means refusing to focus on. So our memories, you know, we store them in at like pieces of information, millions of pieces of information gained through, you know, since the time we were born, right? And some experiences are impossible to forget. And every time we make an effort to forget them, it only makes us remember them more, right? Paul is not advising to have a memory wipe here. He's doing this. He is telling us to focus on the present and the future rather than the past. That's simply what he's saying. I can't wipe from my memory that my son was taken from me. I can't wipe that from my memory. I can't apply this verse and say, well, I'm just going to forget that ever happened and move on and press on to the goal that to win the prize that Christ Jesus has called me upward. I can't do that. It doesn't apply here. Why? Because my mind and my soul won't allow that to happen, right? And I know that grieving is a very biblical thing. It's a very natural thing that God calls us to. I think when there are things that we are to remember and there are things that we're to forget, and I'm going to talk about that in as we continue. But I want to emphasize this again. Paul is telling us here to focus on the present and the future rather than the past. I can't live my life every minute of every day absorbing the blow that I lost my son this January. Just in a couple of weeks here, January 5th will be the two-year mark that I lost my son. It's been a very difficult 2 years. However, I can't live there every day. I can't live there every moment of every day. There are moments during the day that I choose to live there every day, but I don't live there every minute of every day. I can't. I just can't do it. So number two in interpreting here is we are not to be living in the past. And it's easy to live in the past, whether it's a victory that we had or whether it was something that bad that was happened to us. We can't stay there. We can't live on our victories of the past and think that those are going to carry over to the future. And we can't live in our defeats thinking that those are going to carry over into the future, because every day is new. Every day that God sets before us is a clean slate. It's a new day, right? It's a day to be living for Him, a day to be, if you're addicted to something, to be free from that addiction, to be free from that sin, to be free from that dysfunction that we live our life in. We're not to live in the past. And nothing hinders the present like being caught up in another place and time. And it's just, it's not what we do, right? One of the death blows to a church is, you know, I look at Paula and say, well, okay, January's coming. What did we do last year? Let's do whatever we did last year this year. We can't do that in church now. We can't do that. We have different people in our church with different circumstances in a different community, living in a different state, living in a different United States, living in a different world. And all of the ministry has to adapt and change to that, right? What worked last year is not going to work this year. Last year, in 2020, we were trying to keep things together, trying to reimagine church, trying to keep our head above water, trying to make sure that we can minister to the people. Now that we've figured out how to do that effectively, we're going to have to start in 2021 dealing with the real issues that come forth, that sprang forth out of this pandemic, which is going to be a lot of mental illness, a lot of addiction, and a lot of financial ruin and trouble. And we're going to spend most of our time, I think, ministering to those needs. So modeling Paul's forgetfulness here means that we count the past. We don't count the past as nothing. We do, but we don't make it supreme in our life. It doesn't rule us. We can cut the strings that tie us to a time that it was in the past, and we can refuse to allow past successes to inflate our pride, right? I don't live in the things that I did in high school. I don't live in the things that I did when I was a younger man. I live in the moment. I live in today. And we refuse, you know, to allow the past failures to deflate our self-worth. We can't do that. You know, you make a mistake, you get up and you move on. It's what you do. That's why they say when you fall off the bike, you get up and you start riding again. Because if you don't, you're never going to ride a bike again. So we leave it behind, and instead of, we adopt a new identity in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. We have a new identity in Christ. We are new creations. We have the new mind of Christ. Number three in interpreting this is the balance. So we are not to forget everything that we've experienced. We just can't. In the sense of it being oblivious in our minds, we can't be oblivious to it. In fact, there are many things that God instructs us to remember. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 7, Moses tells the Israelites, remember this and never forget how you aroused the anger of the Lord your God in the wilderness. He says, don't forget it. From the day you left Egypt until the day you arrived here, you have been rebellious against the Lord. We are encouraged to remember, according to the word, all that God has done for us, Psalm 77:11. We're encouraged to remember others who are struggling in for Christ's sake, Hebrews chapter 13, 3. We are encouraged to remember that we were that what we were and who we were before Jesus saved us, Ephesians 12, 11 and 12. Ephesians 2, 11 and 12. But remembering, guys, these things, you know, it should be to the glory of God for our spiritual benefit. And I think that's the thing. There are things out of 2020 that we need to never forget. And there are things out of 2020 that we need to let be bygones. We just need to let them go. And they're of no value to remember. They're of no value to keep in our heart. In fact, getting rid of them, getting out of those things out of our way would be to our benefit. And I think that it's very difficult for people to do that sometimes. If we are, you know, cleansed by the blood of Christ, then we are no longer under the judgment for our past failures in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It just doesn't exist, right? And if God chooses not to remember our past, according to Hebrews, you know, we can choose to set aside that as well and embrace the future that he promises to those who love him. And that's what God has for us. God's love this year is going to be just amazing as it was last year. His ability to sustain us is going to be there just like it was last year. And this pandemic is going to be different because we're going to handle it different. We're going to be smarter in the way that we dealt with it last year. We're going to make improvements. We're going to make sure that we have the church as a whole in everybody's best interest. And it's really a time that for the church to grow. I see no reason why the church can't grow tremendously during this pandemic. I don't. I think it has the potential to explode with growth. So there's four things for application here this morning as we leave our study. And, you know, number one is we are always attaining but never arriving. He says, you know, back at the beginning of our text, let me read that to you. He says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You guys, there's a lot of pressing on that we're going to have to do this year. January 1 does not mark the end of the pandemic. January 1 does not mark the end of the political unrest. January 1 does not mark the end of social unrest. All those things we're carrying, they're just on hiatus now. This is what the holidays do. But as soon as January comes in strong, we're going to have all the problems that we had last year into this year. That's just the way it is. Just the way it is. We're always attaining, but never arriving. We just can't sit back and say, yes, we've experienced everything and now we know. And, you know, it's constantly adapting, constantly changing. And I think leadership that has the ability to do that is a leadership that's going to remain strong and effective. The second thing is that we can learn from our past. We can learn from it. There are many lessons that we need to sit down and contemplate that we learned in 2020. We really do. I think a lot of people are really struggling with, okay, what is the balance of a godly fear? Where should I be? Should I be on the side of where the media tells me that I need to be locked into my home, or is there a healthy balance somewhere? And am I more concerned about pleasing everybody around me and being politically correct, or am I more busy trying to please God? You see, you can't lose God in a pandemic. That is something that we could never lose. And I think that, you know, some of us almost did this year. We really did. We put this thing at the forefront of our mind and not the Lord. And that's simply not what he wants. And number three, we're to press on toward the goal. Press on, meaning it's going to take some effort, right? We got to fight through this. We can't make the same mistakes we made last year. We learned them. We need to implement some new things. We need to press on. To what? And that's number four. Our goal is to win the prize of eternal life. Not only for us, but for everybody that we know and everybody around us. So if that's you this morning and you are listening to this sermon, you don't find yourself listening to sermons much, but however you happen to get here, you're here, and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, it's the best future that you'll ever have, I can tell you that. It's a future that'll last forever, for eternity with him. It just doesn't stop when you leave this world. In order to do that, the Bible says you need to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on the cross for your sin, and that you give your life to him in service of him. And when you do, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, given the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit and the ability to walk in the Spirit. It's a beautiful life. If you made that your prayer today, find the number, phone number on our website and give us a call and let us know about the decision that you've made so that we may rejoice with you. And if you listen regularly, he has shown you, O man and O woman, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. Go do that now. God bless you guys.